My father got some hired hands, and they are sitting back, praise God, in the palace, and they are eating. Can I throw some stuff out there? They were eating some cabbage greens. They were eating some mustard greens. They were eating, praise God, some caviar. They were eating steak, praise God. And he said, here I am out here in the huts, and I'm eating hog slop. And he came to his senses. He was at the most desperate point in his life, and he said, I'm going to rise up, and I'm going to go back to my father's house. And there is something, hallelujah, when you have gone off and you have done those things that you thought you were big and bad enough to do. And some folk find it hard to go back to father because they don't know how father is going to react. But there was something different about this father. I know in this boy's mind, he was saying, what in the world is father going to do? What in the world is father going to say? But he didn't have to worry about that, because when he got ready to go back, the story tells me that the father was sitting there waiting for him. Somebody said, I don't know how he knew that it was his son. Maybe he had a certain walk about himself.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community, KAYT.
We're now tuned in to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville, Louisiana, with Dr. Carl Armstead. Mount Olive Baptist Church is located 808 Anacoco Street in Leesville, Louisiana. We are a church and congregation that honors God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. We celebrate his death, resurrection, by which all men are saved. Listen now to our man of God and shepherd, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preaches and teaches the Word of God in a service already in progress.
Did somebody die? Yeah, we're not at a funeral, are we? I thought we were at a funeral or something. Everybody's so quiet. I thought we were here to worship. Amen. We ought to make a joke. You know, I don't know if you all know the significance of the blood of Christ.
Come on now. Yes, sir.
The importance of the blood of Christ.
Yes, sir.
It's because of his blood.
That's right.
That we have an eternal redemption.
That's right.
That we have been set free from sin and all of his damnation. When you understand the significance of the blood, you'll be able to divide it from the Old Testament to the New Testament. A lot of folk running around, we look in the Old Testament, we pick up things, and we think we have to do some certain things to stay saved and all that. But you don't realize the importance and the significance of the blood of Christ. And that's what I'm going to talk about today as we look at Hebrews chapter 9. And I'm going to read verses 11 through 15. Amen.
Amen.
Everybody got to say amen. Now we got a little, we're a little light today, but that don't mean nothing.
That's right.
Because if I would have came in this morning, it wouldn't be but 60 of y'all. I'm not going to hold back. I'm going to do the same thing if we would fill up. And I think the Bible says, well, there's only two or three.
That's right.
And we all want a card.
That's right.
He said, I'll be a God in the midst.
Yeah.
Amen. We don't need to have no crowd to praise.
That's right.
Matter of fact, sometimes I praise them all by myself. Don't nobody be around. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Yes, Lord. In the ninth chapter of the book of Hebrews, everybody got to say amen.
Amen.
Anybody that need a little more time, say, hold on. Amen. We must be there. Verses 11, beginning at verse 11, we'll read to 15. And it said, but Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hand, that is, not of this creation, not with the bloods of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of heifers sprinkling the unclean sanctuary, unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Yes, yes. And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgression under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. The grass withers, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. And I believe if you really understood the significance of what we just read, you would thank God for his blood.
Yes.
And so I want to talk about, from the thought, thank God for the blood of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Let me begin by saying that the Bible is really a book of blood and is wholly distinct, thank you, Ursus, from other books for one reason. That is, it contains blood circulating through every page and in every verse. There's a trail of blood that snakes its way through the pages of the Bible, revealing a portrait of the redemption that is available to all who come to Jesus by faith. And so as we make our way to the text, we note that the context of the text, verse 1 through 11, focuses on the Old Testament sacrificial system that speaks of millions of gallons of animal blood that was shed to cover the sin of the people. And yet sin was only covered over year by year. But the blood of the animals did not provide total deliverance or total forgiveness. Meaning all the millions of gallons of animal blood shed for man's sin was not able to save a single soul. Because according to verse 9, all of this was only symbolic and incapable of cleansing and renewing the inner man. But what the blood of bulls and goats and lambs couldn't do is what the blood of Jesus does for all of those who trust in him by faith. And so this morning I'd like to share with us some insights that reveal in our text, some insights that causes me to say thank God for the blood of Jesus. And that's my subject again this morning as we prepare to partake of the Lord's Supper. And just thinking about the Lord's Supper ought to make you just be thankful for the blood of Christ. Now, the first thing we see in verse 11 through 12 is the purchase of the blood of Jesus. Note verse 12 reveals that Jesus did not enter the Holy of Holies as an earthly high priest did once a year by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once and for all by means of his own blood, and having obtained an eternal redemption. Now this reveals that what Christ did was precious, personal, and a permanent purchase. In other words, he did three things. First, his service is in his own blood and not the blood of sacrificed animals, meaning the sacrificer was also the sacrifice, and that makes this a precious purchase. Secondly, he made his sacrifice only one time, which is sufficient for all people for all times, and that makes it a personal purchase. thirdly, he obtained a permanent eternal redemption, meaning he cleansed the past, present, and future sins in one act of redemption. And that that makes it a permanent purchase. Now, for we note that the last words of verse 12 is pregnant with meaning. Now, the words "having obtained" here refers to a one-time and once-and-for-all action. Then the word "eternal" means abiding, constant, unending, and eternal. And then the word "redemption" means to release after the payment of the ransom price, causing the guilty party to be forever delivered from all guilt and punishments. My brothers and sisters, when all these truths are coupled together, we are left with the conclusion that the salvation that Jesus provides and the redemption that the saints enjoy is an eternal redemption. Now, this is made clear in Scripture in 1 Peter 1:5 that says, we are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. And then we read in John 10 and 28, we note that Jesus makes it even plainer when he says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. The bottom line is this: if you are saved, you are saved forever. You're not saved temporary. You're not saved till you mess up. You're saved forever. And that's why the Lord provides a way out when we sin and fall out of fellowship. All we got to do is go back to God and ask him for forgiveness. Amen. Ask him for forgiveness and cleansing for our sins, and he will sanctify us, so he'll set us back apart unto himself. If that makes sense to anybody? Now, some might ask, how is this possible? Well, the answer lies in the superiority of Christ's sacrifice to that of the Old Testament sacrifice, because the Old Testament sacrifice is only covered sin, but the sacrificial offering of Christ's blood on Calvary actually removed sin penalty forever. You do know that the penalty of sin is death. And that's but the gift of God is eternal life. And that's why John said in John 1:29, when he saw and recognized Jesus, he said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And so if you are saved, if you've been born again, Christ's death on the cross forever settled your sin problem. For the Bible says in Romans 6:22 that we have been set free from sin and we are now God's servants. And that's what makes us holy and will lead us to eternal life. And so the purchase of the blood of Jesus was an eternal purchase. Well, secondly, I thank God for the blood of Jesus because of the power of the blood of Jesus. For we note that the text in revealing the power of the blood of Jesus, it reveals that it has the power to cleanse, the power to change, and the power to claim. Note verse 14 of the text says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Now the Old Testament, Old King James Version of the Bible uses the word purge, which means to cleanse and free from filth. But the blood of the Old Testament sacrificial system could never completely cleanse the sin of the stain of sin away. But however, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses the sinner completely. For the Bible says again in 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And then again, we read in Revelation 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over all over the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. The blood of Jesus has power to cleanse. As the songwriter writes, William Cowper, spelled like Cooper, says there is a fountain filled with blood and is drawn from Emmanuel's vein, where sinners plunge beneath that flood and lose all their guilty stain. And many times around the world and during wartime, there's a call for blood on us because the supply of blood become low. But I thank God that there is a fountain filled with blood that never runs low. But not only does the blood of Jesus have power to cleanse, but it also has the power to change. Because the text says that it purges, it cleanses the conscience from dead works to serve a living God. Now the conscience, my brothers and sisters, is a part of you that has the power to choose between right and wrong. And so the idea here is that when you are saved, you experience a change of heart that results in a change of lifestyle. It is the idea of a new life in Christ. And that's what Paul was talking about when he was said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he or she is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. But now the Old Testament sacrifices can never produce such a change. Only the blood of Jesus brings with it the awesome power to forever change those who are exposed to it. In other words, when a person meets Jesus and his shed blood, the change in that person is dramatic and well as glorious, because the sinner is literally made a new creation and is indwelled by God himself in the person of the Holy Spirit. And so the results is a change of attitude towards sin, a change of affection towards sin, and a change of activity in sin. My brothers and sisters, when a person experiences the blood of Jesus, that person is forever changed. But not only does it have the power to change, but it also has the power to claim, meaning the blood of Jesus does far more than just wash our sins away, but it also purchases us out of sin, and that is what we call redemption, and that makes us a purchased possession of God. And no wonder Paul says in plain and simple terms, he said, you're no longer your own. He said, but God paid a great price for you. So use your body to honor God. In other words, we are his and we are to obey him and we are to do his will without question. And there is an old song that says that there is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. And then Andre Crouch said, the blood that Jesus shed for me, he said, way back on Calvary, he said, that blood give me strength from day to day, and it will never lose its power. And so I thank God that there is power in the blood of Jesus. Well, finally, I thank God for the promise of the blood of Jesus. For we note in verse 15, we have the promise of an eternal inheritance. Now, this verse speaks of redemption, because in the promise of the blood of Jesus, we have the promise of freedom and the promise of a future, because the promise of freedom can be seen in the fact that this redemption through the blood of Jesus, it buys us back from the power of sin and releases us from sin's bondage and frees us to live for the Lord. Because when a sinner, a lost person, places his or her trust in the blood of Jesus for salvation, that person is given a brand new life and a fresh start. Now, when I talk about the blood of Jesus, I'm talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord, because that's the only way you can be saved. As the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Isn't that right? Because we, because the redeemed sinner is reckoned dead with Christ at Calvary, and we are alive with Christ by virtue of his resurrection from the dead. And that's what Paul was talking about in Galatians 2:20 when he said, I've died, but Christ lives in me. And now I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave his life for me. Meaning the new life has been given to the redeemed child of God. Everybody in here who know the Lord and had received him as your Savior, you got to realize that you have been set free for all eternity. And I thank God that the past has gone forever. Typical illustration can be seen. I used to hunt a long time ago. We used to hunt rabbits, and we would have the dog, the hounds running the rabbits. But every now and then, those old swamp rabbits, they would run and they would jump in a stream. And when the dogs get to the stream, they've lost the scent. And all they could do is just run up and down the stream. But the old rabbit had gotten away because that stream had broken the scent. Well, in the same way, the memories of our sins, brought on by Satan, can be like those rabbit dogs. But the stream that I'm talking about flows is the red blood of God's own Son. And by grace through faith, I tell you, we are safe. And no sin hound can touch us because the trail has been broken by the blood of the Lord. When our past may rise up to try to hunt and haunt us every now and then, but I thank God it will never overtake us because sin has lost the trail and we are free from its demand as well as its power. And that's why the promise of the blood of Jesus is the promise of freedom. But not only is it a promise of freedom, but it's also a promise of a future. Because the blood of Jesus also promised us a future with him in glory. Meaning when we trust Jesus as our Savior, we become joint heirs with him and of all that the God has to offer. For the Bible says that the Spirit himself bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And so as a result, we have the assurance that we will be with the Lord one day in heaven when we leave this old world. But the Bible says that every Christian in John 14:1-3 is a let not your hearts be troubled. Ye that believe in God, he said, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it wasn't so, I never would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, you may be also. And if you don't know the way, I tell you, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. And he said, if I go to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come back again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. But now heaven and all it offers belong only to those who've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, because there's no other way to enter into the city but through the precious blood of Jesus. And so as I try to move to the close, yes, I tell you that the Bible is a bloody book, and our faith is a bloody faith. Yet many in our modern world are actually turned off by the preaching of the blood of Jesus. Many are turned off because we preach the cross and Christ crucified. But my brothers and sisters, the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So let me ask you, as the songwriter writes, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Because, my friends and brothers, that's the question that each of us must answer for ourselves, and that is, am I really saved? Meaning, if you were to die today, do you know for sure that you would go to be with the Lord? Well, if you don't know, you can know, because Jesus died to set you free from sin and damnation. And if you put your trust in Him, He will save your soul and give you eternal life. And so, are you sure that you're saved this morning? Has the shed blood of Jesus been applied to your life? But let me close by asking, what can wash away all my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me whiter than snow. No other found, I know. I tell you, nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's why my hope is built on nothing less but Jesus Christ and His righteousness. I dare not trust in the sweetest frame, but I'm a wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. Ain't God all right? Have you been washed this morning? Have you been cleansed this morning? Are you saved and on your way? Yeah, Lord, I don't know about you, but I know the Lord. He hears my cry, because one day I came to the Lord just as I was. I was wearied, wounded, and sad, but I found in Him a resting place. Oh, He has, He's made me glad. I know I mess up sometimes, but that's all right. I'm still under construction, because He's still working on me. Ain't God all right? I stumble sometime, I fall sometime, but thank God He'll lift me back up. Thank God He walked with me, He talked with me, He tells me that I am His own. Yeah, Lord. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank God for the cross. Take the cross out of the gospel, and you don't have anything. Oh, thank God that Jesus thought enough for me and my low-down self and my filthy self, that He would go and die in my place that I might be delivered. Oh, Lord. That's grace, y'all. That's grace. Because He looks beyond all your faults and He sees your needs. Oh, Lord. Well, that's all right. At this time, we extend the invitation. There might be somebody who'd like to get on the Lord's side. I must say that as we've gathered here to observe the Lord's Supper, if you're not saved, you shouldn't partake, because you don't have anything to remember the Lord about, because He hasn't done anything in your life yet. This is only for saved people. But if you're here and you've never received Christ as Savior, we extend this invitation to you that you can come and that you can receive Christ and that you can be saved from now throughout eternity. Or perhaps maybe you've fallen by the wayside. You got a little discouraged along the way, and maybe you call yourself like Adam, hiding from God. So you walked away from the church. You stayed away from all saved folk. You start hiding out in this place and that place, but we can't hide from God. And maybe you've come to yourself and decide, well, I'm going to go ahead on and get back straight with the Lord. This invitation is to you. The invitation is whosoever will.